Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Oh, my goodness. Being an heir of salvation is such a blessed, blessed thing. Heir means you are a direct descendant of salvation. Salvation means liberation. It means confrontation. Confrontation of everything that was wrong in your life that's made right through restoration, through reparation, and all of the blessed things that come from this privileged position. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel today, and we are celebrating, and which we should always celebrate, the spirit of thanksgiving, or that of giving thanks, of giving homage, of showing gratitude to the only one who stood in our place, who was hung up for our hang-ups, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. By the one who stood in our stead, who redeemed us from eternal separation from God the Father. The one who made us one, who justified us, who caused us to be in heavenly places in God's kingdom. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. For God has given him a name above every name. And it's at the name of Jesus that every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Oh, he is Lord. He is Lord. Even in this wayward generation, in this turbulent world, he is Lord. And he is near and dear to those who call upon his name. And there's power. Oh, yes, there is. There is power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he's Lord. He laid down his life. He didn't have to give it, but he did, because Father God loved us so. And John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And what are you talking about, everlasting life? That means abundant life here on this earth, on this interplanetary domain, and as well as life in the eternals. So what a mighty God, I should say, almighty God, we worship, we desire, and we serve. The angels bow before him, and heaven and earth adore him. What an almighty, let me say almighty, God we serve. And I'm thanking God today for all of his blessings, his benefits. Oh, and how he just keeps doing great things for his children. I know many of you are just getting over the celebration of Thanksgiving. Let me tell you something. I've heard some people even discuss the fact that Thanksgiving shouldn't be observed because it was considered as a pagan type of celebration. But according to what your belief is, you can take what is deemed as pagan and translate it into a spiritual celebration. So when I talk about Thanksgiving, I'm not just talking about on a designated day in November. I'm talking about each and every day, year-round, on the calendar. This is what you and I should do as believers. As we adore God and we give thanks unto him, he said, you've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler of many. And it starts with the giving of thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so it starts within us, and it spreads itself all abound and around, over and under, side to side, from the ionosphere to the atmosphere to the stratosphere. It impacts our life. It impacts our environment. And this is what we need to do. So as we're thanking God for all of his blessings, and to those of you who have tuned into the Manner of Speaking, heard live on the blogtalkradio.com network, we're so honored to have you today. We've got listeners right here in the continental U.S. of A. That's right. Consider the land of the free and the home of the brave. We've got listeners in Europe. We've got listeners in Africa. We've got listeners over in Asia. That's right, over in Asia. That's right. We've got listeners in Australia. We've got listeners all over the world, in Canada, in South America. And soon, we hope to say, even in Antarctica. And notice, it doesn't matter where your geographical location is. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. That's right. For he that the Son set free, he is free and free indeed. So we are so honored to have you today on this glorious and victorious day it is. Another day that the Lord has made, that we're rejoicing and being glad in it. It is Sunday the 28th of November. Wow. Can you believe it? 2021. We're looking right into the new year. And I know so many people are just so excited about the Christmas season coming. Christmas is just not about the giving of gifts. I know it's reflective of the three wise men who visited the Christ child and gave gifts as a way of paying homage, as a way of honoring the presentation of our Savior being born. That's just a reflection of that. Christmas is a time of giving. Christmas should be celebrated every day that we are alive, we are well, we are healthy, we're able to sustain our biological necessities, we're able to do things of our own biological functions independently. That's Christmas. That's right. Everything else has to follow therein. And so we should always celebrate the gifts of God. I know one lady was talking to a group of friends of hers. They were meeting within the coffee house. And she said, I celebrate Christmas every day. She said, I open up the two gifts. The two gifts are my eyes, where I can see. And Jesus even said this. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. That's right. My other two gifts, she said, are my two legs, and can operate my feet. Those are my gifts. And when you're thankful for the most minuscule things that people take for granted, God will do the extraordinary. But it starts with the Genesis perspective of where you are, what you have, thanking God for it. And I just thank God for you that have tuned in today as we're going forward, headward on, into the new year. It's going to be a very exciting time. And in my spiritual mind, I perceive that there's going to be a great spiritual revival. I'm not talking about a religious establishment or an organization. I'm talking about a spiritual revival, a revitalization of believers who are going to experience the supernatural presence of Almighty God, that God is going to break the strongholds in their lives. And as a result, they're going to pass the blessing on to others. And this is what we've got to do. When God performs miracles in our lives, we are to be receptacles, to go and to share those miracles with others. When God gives us a financial breakthrough, we've got to share that breakthrough with others. And this is what happens. We have others that are on the reciprocating end of what we receive. It's a chain reaction. It's a chain cycle. And that cycle needs to be perpetuated and perpetual. That's right. And this is what God gets the glory from. And I thank God for those of you who are here once again. And just take time just to reflect upon all that you've experienced and all that God has brought you to and brought you through. And you're talking about miracle-filled testimonies. We can just write volumes upon volumes about the supernatural penetration capacity in which God supersedes the expectations of mankind and does what cannot even be imagined. That's right. God can do it. That's right. And even so, you just think back, if you want a biblical example, let's go to the Old Testament. Think about Joseph. Joseph, that's right. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. His brothers saw an anointing upon him. That's right. And as a result, his anointing intimidated him. Sometimes the anointing of God, your character shows through, and sometimes the enemy works with people to come against you. Well, you know something? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And God will allow that confrontation to become a platform to elevate you, to put you in a heavenly position to receive from him. And think about Joseph's brothers. That's right. Think about Reuben. You think about Benjamin and his other brothers. They all knew about what happened. He was cast into the pit. And they went back to their father. That's right. And told him that he had been eaten by a wild animal. But let me tell you something. Talk about heavenly places in God. Joseph was taken by the very people that opposed the children of Israel, by the Egyptians. You see, God used them as a vehicle to bless Joseph and to put him in a heavenly place to experience the height, the depth, and the very breath and presence of God. What happened? Joseph was exalted and attained power in a foreign land. That's right. And the only man that was more powerful than Joseph was given the governorship of Egypt. That's right. An Israeli being given a high-ranking office, only second in power to the Pharaoh. You tell me that's not God's divine favor. That's God's divine favor if I've ever seen an example of it. And the very brothers that betrayed him had to come back to him to be fed during the famine. And even so, his father glory in seeing that his son was well. That's right. See, God will put us in positions where those who opposed us or stood against us have been weakened down and made to be humble. That's the hand of God. And Joseph was full of the love of God. And he received and administered to his brethren who had literally turned against him. That's right. And he even showed love and gratitude unto his father. See, when God delivers us and brings us out of an unusual place, this is the word of knowledge. Please take heed to it. Let us not be proud and haughty. Because the six things that the Lord hates is a proud look, as is at the top of the list, and he just saw a discord amongst the brethren. Get rid of that pride. Pride is a destructive mechanism because pride will hinder the breakthrough from coming through. See, Joseph was humble. He was open to God. He was so thankful that God had flourished him in a foreign land and that he had given him every provision. This man was rich. And he had to turn around and administer to those who actually betrayed and despised him. See, only the love of God can do that. We can't walk in the love of ourselves because in the love of ourselves, it knows no love. Self knows no love. Only the love of God can get you to see the eternal value that's within the human nature. That's right. And as he looks beyond our faults and sees our needs, we have to be humble to do the same. So that's an unusual word of knowledge because there's some miracles that are going to occur this week. That's right, that are really beyond your expectations. That's why so many of you have been praying and asking to be touched in agreement with prayer for financial miracles. Well, see, God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. That's right. He's going to provide. And when he provides, you go back and share your provision. Amen? He is also Jehovah Rapha. What does the term Jehovah Rapha mean? Lord God, our healer. God is going to do some supernatural healing on the physical level, on the psychological level, the emotional level, and on the relationship level. The miracles are coming down the stream. And all we got to do is just stand in the seat and receive them and turn back like that one leper did. And he thanked Jesus for healing him. We got to come back and thank Father God. Because remember, all earthly favor, every good and perfect thing cometh from the Lord. Amen and amen. Let us go back into the Word of God. We were in the 91st division of Psalms last week, and we were talking about the Psalms of divine protection, of divine intervention, and of divine favor, and how God orchestrates these magnificent things on our behalf. Let's go to Psalms 91, the 7th verse. And we spoke last week talking about standing in the place. He that dwelleth in the secret place. See, you don't have to go out and publicly announce that I'm a biblically sound Christian, that I'm a true believer. No, your character, your nature should reflect what you believe in. For as a man thinketh, so is he. So this is what reflects within our capacity of our character, of our motivation, and of our behavior. Are we perfect? No, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, in doing so, we have to be sure, to make sure that when we fall short, we ask God for forgiveness. That's right. This is what we do. And as we read through the previous verses, and David was saying, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he's my protector, he's my tower of power, he is my fortress, he is my defender, he is my protector. He said, he will deliver me from out of the hands of the enemy, the negative forces of this world, the negative frequencies of this world, the wickedness of this world, and that we should walk in the empowerment of his presence so that we are victors and not victims. And then he says, what? He will cover thee with his feathers. I mean, his protective measures, his halo, his presence. And I'm thinking about a story that I heard a long while ago about this young man who gave a testimony. And he stated that he had contacted this pastor. This pastor was very well up in age. I think he was 100, maybe a little over 100. He had had a great outreach with the community and helping to revitalize individuals whose lives had been battered, shattered, and scattered. Well, apparently this minister, this leader, had a great outpouring. And as a result, many people connected with him outside of the community. This young man stated that he had a substance abuse problem and that in his mind, he thought if he could get this man off the premises where he's being protected and watched, that he could take advantage of him and gain financial capacity to fuel his habit. So he contacted him by phone, and he told him where he was, and that he needed to see him, that he was thinking about harming himself. But this man, being a true believer and practitioner of the faith, said that he would come to this young man and counsel with him and pray with him. So as the story went, the pastor, he went to this man's place of residence. He got out of the vehicle, and he stepped up on the porch. You see, God said he would renew our youth like the noonday. This man was able to do all of these things at his ripe and mature age. He rang the bell. He knocked at the door. The young man said he saw him on the porch. And he said beside him was a very large and powerful man with him. So the young man got afraid to open the door because he didn't want that other gentleman to intervene and attack him. So he did not answer. And as a result of him not answering, he did not acclaim to respond. So he stood there for minutes, no response. So the pastor got back in his vehicle, and the young man said he was watching him. And he got back in his vehicle, and the other man got in the vehicle with him, and they left. Well, there was months after this occurrence happened. The young man came to the congregation where the pastor was, and he saw him. He shook his hand, and he hugged him, and this man's life had been changed. He came up to the pastor, and he said he wanted to talk to him. And the pastor was glad to hear from him. He says, I remember a couple of months ago, you came to my place of residency. I had determined in my mind I was going to rob you. And the pastor looked at him. He said, but when you got out of the vehicle and you came on my porch, there was a very large and powerful man with you. And I got scared. I heard you ringing the bell. I heard you knocking at the door, but I was afraid to answer it. And he began to tell the pastor the type of occurrences that happened in his life that helped him to turn his life around. The pastor then looked at him and said, young man, when I came to your home, I was alone. No one was with me. But the scripture came into place. Now the angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that feareth him and delivereth them. God sent an angel to protect his messenger. And God does the same thing today. And as a result, this young man's life was changed. See, we don't know what God protects us from and keeps us from. We just know that he is a keeper. He is a protector. He is a provider. He stands for us. He sends the angels to guard us, even as we sleep, as we travel, as we eat, as we converse with others. God protects us. And this was evidence that God had sent an angel with this man. And God does the same thing for his children. He loves us, and he wants the very finest for us. All we have to do is walk in the pathway of righteousness. And so he says that he will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That means the truth will emancipate you and keep you in a way where you're guarded, you're protected. That's right. In any circumstance, God will fight your battles and hand you the victory. Even as so, David fought against Goliath. And remember, the others were onlooking and fearful for David. And King David said, he was king then. God had anointed upon him then. He said, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. He looked at a giant of more than twice his size, who had a full body accompaniment of armor, and an entire battalion behind him of the Philistines. But God gave David the anointing to take down the giant and to destroy the captivity that he placed upon that land. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. And he said, what? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. When we lay down and sleep at night, we should know that all is well, that God giveth his angels charge over us. We should not, what? Even fear the arrow by day. We hear about all incidents of violence and occurrences. The children of God are protected. They're guarded. Why? Because God watches over his word to perform it. So we're to be peaceful. And he said what? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Pestilence are things of wickedness, things that can nag you, things that can get on your nerves, feeling frustrated, feeling angry, feeling hopeless and helpless. We're not to even get into those thoughts of temptation, nor for the destruction that waits at noonday. Whatever is going on in the world is outside the world. We should pray. The power of God intervenes on behalf of those in the world. But don't forget, we are a peculiar people. We're set aside and a royal priesthood that we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. And what? 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. These things are happening about. Jesus told us that these things, the famines, the pestilences, the tribulation that is coming to the world, to them that did not believe and refused to accept the truth of the gospel. This is the reason why the gospel has to be taught. It has to be preached. It has to be propagated to every nation on this planet, so that the very essence of the truth can be given to all credences in the world. That's right. Salvation is just not for a certain sect of people or individuals. It's for every man, every woman that believes and receive the truth. Because only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And remember when David said that he went to the place to find the wicked and consider them, they were no longer in existence. He said they will melt away. That means those oppressive circumstances, those criticalities in your life, those hindrances, those things that kept you, held you captive, depressed you, oppressed you, even suppressed you, will melt away. Because there's something about the name of Jesus that causes these circumstances, these situations to just be deteriorated and just removed. That's right. That's right. He said, because thou has made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That means why? God shows us his love perpetually and continually because we call upon him as our Father. We regard Jesus Christ as our heavenly Savior, our mediator, our Messiah, our high priest, because we call upon him. He says what? Therefore shall no evil befall thee. That means no evil thing will come against us and overtake us. No circumstance, no individual can stand against us. For it's God before us. Who can come against us? Nobody can. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That means any disease, illness, infection, any circumstance would overtake our health because our bodies are the temple of God. And because it's the temple of God, it's consecrated. Only the power of God can exist within inside of us. No deadly thing can come in it. That's right. And Jesus even told us if we drink any deadly thing, it won't harm us. Because why? We have the power of God's presence through the Holy Spirit within us. And we are his. So none of these things will come upon the children of the Most High God. We're not talking about a religious organization or congregation. We're talking about true born-again believers. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That means that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that feareth him and delivereth them. That means that God will perpetually give his angels charge over us. There was a song that says, all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. And oh, yes, the angels watch over us and protect us. God gives us guardian angels to stand guard over us. He gives us ministering angels. That's right. that speak the words of knowledge to us. And God also sends on our behalf avenging angels. This is the reason why the scripture has told us. God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So we're covered. We just have to maintain the integrity of traveling that path of righteousness. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thy bash or dash thy foot against the stone. That means they will keep you in every aspect of your life, because God commanded it, lest you become a victim of circumstance, and God won't allow that to happen. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand. That's right. He said, before one jot be changed, heaven and earth will pass away. And thus far, we still see the earth. We still see the interplanetary domain in existence, so the word has to be true. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So you know what? The dragon is the opposition. The adder is deemed as the serpent or a cobra. And I know many of you think about the cobra, the king cobra, especially in India, is one of the most horrific looking serpents in the world. That's right. So if God said that we would trample these forces under feet, this is why he tells us to walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's right. And that's right. And casting down every imagination that exalted itself above God, this is how we trample upon the adder. This is how we trample and walk upon the lion and the dragon, that beast, that hideous beast, through the name and the authority given in the name of Jesus, through the power of his blood, his redeeming blood. And all the blood of Jesus, it washes us white as snow, but it empowers us with the very elementation of heaven itself. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And the scripture tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I mean, many are sometimes the obstructions or confrontations. Will those confrontations be of the psychological realm or the natural realm or the communicable realm, as we say? But the Lord heareth them. He hears our prayers. He hears our concerns. He sees our tears. He feels our plight. And the Lord delivers them out of them all. And sometimes people will just try to throw things at you to cause you to fall. God says, no, you won't fall. You will be insurrected. You will be elevated. And the very one that attempted to cause you to fall will be under your feet. When we lean upon the promises of God, we see the manifestations of God relevant in our lives. And he wants to reveal himself, but we got to move ourselves out of the way. We got to remove religious programming out of the way. We got to remove indoctrination out of the way. Because God is a spirit. Going back to the Genesis perspective, God is a spirit. And they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he that hath not the spirit of Christ is none of his. How we don't answer Christ? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why the Holy Spirit has to live within our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the holy consciousness. It guides our thought. It teaches us. It directs us. It gives us word of knowledge. It foretells us things before they happen. And let me tell you something. I'm a witness and a testimony. When the Holy Spirit tells you something is going to take place, sit there and just wait, because it's coming to pass. God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. That means God will exalt you and elevate you. Remember when David said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over? He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. Dwelling, live there and do well, flourish and prosper in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. It's done. Can any evil thoughts, any enchantments working, any haters and non-negotiators interfere with what God has for you? He said, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I mean, God, when I answer you, God saying I will respond to you. Sometimes the response is automatic. Sometimes that response is systematic. What's the difference between automatic and systematic? Automatic means right then and there. If something has necessity with your life, your existence, your physical well-being, your psychological well-being, right then and there, God's going to do it. The financial windfall, God's going to do it. But some deliverances are systematic. I've got to go back into that on a future upcoming broadcast. Systematic deliverance means that there is an interchanging of things within you as God is changing the situation in your favor. And as God is revealing things to you about yourself and about your circumstances, teaching you wisdom. And then the exchange happens. Then the elementation happens. Then the manifestation happens. We're going to talk about that in an upcoming broadcast. And so he said, because he have known my name. He said, I will call, answer him. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Sometimes we get ourselves in circumstances and situations. We don't even know why we do it. We're at the spur of the moment. We get distracted. We respond in the way that we shouldn't, and as a result, we've created a situation. God is so loving, kind to us, and so merciful, he even delivers us out of our own mess. That's why sometimes we make a mess. We talk about the mess that's there, some of it we help to create, and God is such a wonderful God. Oh, he's so loving. As a beloved father endears his children, he delivers us. Because he knows that we're ignorant sometimes. Sometimes we misbehave sometimes. Because when the spirit is willing, the flesh gets weak. This is why we have to stay in prayer. He says, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That means I'm looking forward to my 100th birthday. And beyond that, God plan for us to live a long life upon earth. Why? So he could show us his loving kindness and tender mercy. So we could develop an excellent relationship with him. So that we can share the fruitfulness of our relationship with us and manifest the miraculous works that Jesus told us that in his name we would do. That's what our long life is for. Yes, we're to enjoy life. I never want to make you believe that being a believer in God strips us of enjoying life. He wants us to communicate with others. He wants us to fellowship with others. He wants us to go out. You want us to shop. And you like me, you like to eat. You like to wear nice things. God wants us to enjoy these things. But at the same time, he tells us to wear this world as a loose garment. That means you, as easily as you put it on, you can take it off. We're to enjoy life. And the many splendors of life, even enjoying entertainment, good, clean entertainment, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing is impure of itself unless we put the impurity in there by the way we think. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. And this is what God says, with long life will he satisfy us and show us his salvation, the way that he can make a way where there was no way. And I believe this, God not only will open the door, God will actually break down the door, the petition, to send his miracles our way. God will not only open the windows of heaven, he will remove the glass panes in those windows to make sure the power of his presence illuminates in our lives. And we can just stand solid on this psalm when you get a chance. Read it. This is a psalm of revitalization, of restoration, and assurance of the power of God. I hope and I pray that you have a miracle-filled week and know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Expect your miracle, stand on the promises of God, and know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Have a blessed, prosperous, and miracle-filled week. You have the Holy Spirit as your teacher, and I am also as part of that collective team. Abby A. Phelps, known as the Esquire, also known as the Motor City Maharani. And I tell you, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week. Oh, yes.